Good evening, ladies and gentlemen and fellow members. Welcome to this meeting of Rydal District Council's Planning Committee. We've done the evacuation. I just ask that members of the public turn off, and members indeed, turn off their mobile phones or put them on silent, please. Moving on to the agenda, agenda item one is apologies for absence, please.
Apologies have been received from Councillor Hope and Councillor Shields. Councillor Cousins will substitute Councillor Hope and no substitute from Councillor Shields.
Okay, and just again to say that Councillor Farnell will be alert. Thank you. Agenda item two is minutes of the meeting held on the 7th of June 2016. I'll move those minutes. Do I have a seconder for those? Thank you. Councillor Cleary, I think. Yeah. Okay, we'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's 18. Sorry. No, that's 7 in favour and 1 abstention. Moving on to agenda item 3, urgent business. I have no urgent business. Agenda item 4 is declarations of interest. Councillor Cousins. Thank you. Councillor, Mrs. Frank, did you? Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
Yes, again, item 14, I've been lobbied, personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Chairman, item 14, I've been lobbied by a letter and email, personal, non-prejudicial and non.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Chairman, item 5, I think I should declare an interest. I am a small developer. I've never ever developed anything in this amount, but it could be a possibility in the future, so I won't be voting, taking part. And item 14, I've been lobbied, personal, non-peculiar.
Thank you. Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. Item number 14, I've been lobbied by letter, and it's personal, non-pecuniary. So.
Thank you. Okay. Councillor Thornton.
Item number 14, I've been lobbied by letter and email, personal, non-pecuniary.
Thank you. And for myself, agenda item 14, I've been lobbied, and again, agenda item 16, I've been lobbied, personal, non-pecuniary. Now move on to agenda item 5, which is a Part B report, developer contributions and from small sites.
Thank you, Chairman. As members will see, this is a Part B report, so we'll go on from this council, from this planning committee meeting tonight to council on Thursday evening for formal consideration. And I'm sure members will think, Groundhog Day, not again. But this is the latest in the saga of developer contributions from small sites, and members will probably recall that I think it's last November or so we resolved to start seeking contributions again as a result of the West Berkshire in Reading case, which went to the High Court, and where the government's ministerial statement was soundly beaten. But the government did announce at the time that it was intending to appeal that to the Court of Appeal, which it duly did. And the Court of Appeal turned everything on its head. I think we've heard that sort of story before, haven't we? One court going totally opposite another. But the gist of that is that essentially it sort of takes us back to the point of the ministerial statement all those months and years ago. And the gist of it is that this report is now recommending to this committee and to council that we no longer seek to seek developer contributions in the form of our local plan policy set out in policy SP3 for affordable housing, with the exception set out in paragraph 2.1, What it effectively means is that we won't be able to seek any on-site contributions at all from small sites, and there will be some limited situations where we can seek contributions for developments of six or above in the identifiable rural areas, which does cover most of Rydale, I would hasten to add. Having said that, the other nuance that has occurred in the intervening period in relation to policy, because members will probably also recall we sought contributions from small sites for public open space contributions, that particular element, which was in policy SP11, has actually been overtaken by the adoption of SIL. So that's dealt with by community infrastructure levy. But for affordable housing contributions, the recommendation is as set out in the report. But because effectively it's a change in policy position, again, that does require the full agreement of council. If there are any questions, Chairman, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, we seem to come round to this one with increasing regularity. Can I just ask, because we were caught with this one before when we took the ministerial statement at face value and then found that we shouldn't have done, really. Is this now part of statute? Is this enshrined in law yet, or are we on that tightrope again where we really don't know which way this is going to go?
The Housing and Planning Bill does enshrine it in primary legislation. We are waiting for regulation to follow that through. Having said that, because of the situation that arose last time, and if you recall, most authorities in North Yorkshire were in a similar position of taking the ministerial statement as a significant material consideration. In essence, the test that one would apply, which is referred to in the report, is were the plan not adopted now, would we get this policy through an examination? And the answer to that is clearly no, not in the light of that ministerial advice. The guidance has already been changed. So that gives you an indication of the direction of travel. But in this instance, having then drafted the report, we then did also seek an advice on the content of the report. And without going into it in any detail, it's only a page long, the essence of the policy shift taking us back to the written statement back in November 2014 means that parts of policy SP3 and SP11 are inconsistent with the MPPF. And so policy paragraph 215 of the MPPF advises that policies in plans must be tested against the framework, and because of that, SP3 and 11 are of limited weight in certain respects, and therefore we need to respond to clarify that position. And to cut to the chase, the barrister has stated that the response is fully in accordance with well-accepted lawful practice. I cannot improve on the wording of the report, which is good to read. Not good as an outcome, but I think the answer to your question is yes, we've taken an advice and they concur with that advice.
Are there any more questions? Councillor Thornton.
Chair, thank you. Do we know how much money we'll actually miss out on through this change?
In terms of the ones that were signed in this intervening period for affordable housing, it's approximately £260,000. For open space, it's approximately £39,000, but you'll appreciate that's been taken over by SIL.
And we do have a small option. One is to go with the review the development plan and bring policies into line, or we can recognise the implications of the policy and agree a position to be applied through the decision-making process. Is there value in adopting the second process, whereby if, say, a developer builds five houses in Hovingham and then 2 years later comes back with a proposal to develop a further five houses, we can actually charge them for the full development because it's just been split into two conveniently?
take your point in terms of artificially creating small sites. I think that's a judgment call in terms of whether we're clearly able to identify a bigger site from the outset. In other words, and the plan does talk about this, in order to avoid contributions. And we would have to go into battle on that. And we wouldn't, if we were going to battle on that, we'd have to battle on it from the outset and say, no, this is not a small site, it's clearly part of a bigger site, and you're just doing this to avoid contributions. You'd have to make that judgment call. I mean, clearly, Hovingham's not maybe the best example, but and to be honest with you, that most of the examples that I've referred to in these circumstances, because of the nature of the development, are ones and twos and threes. They're nowhere near the threshold. That is the real problem for us. Some of these contributions are averaging less than 30,000 each because it's a single dwelling, and that's the real that's the reality of it.
Thank you, Councillor. Mrs. Goodrick.
Gary, can I just pick up on something that you just said? And it's really about whether we think something is going to come back to a bigger site or not. Because clearly, you know, we all look at things and think, oh, yeah, that's going to bring more development. But as we are frequently told, we're not allowed to consider what might happen in the future. And that's what we would be doing, effectively, is considering what might happen in the future. So where would we stand in that situation where we've got, you know, five houses and then five houses and then five houses?
The reality is they don't come forward like that in the settlements that are giving rise to these types of development. But if it did, I mean, if you had I struggle to think of a scenario, but let's say you had a village that had a development limit that had a gap in it that was big enough to be 10 houses, say, and somebody arbitrarily came in for three but was showing red and blue lines on a site that was big enough for 10. That's a bit of a giveaway, isn't it? And so that might be the sort of scenario where we'd say, come on a minute, we weren't born yesterday. But we'd have to argue it, you know, and if the developer fought hard and we felt that was a reason for refusal, along with anything else that might be wrong with it, then we'd have to argue that point. It'd end up being determined by an appeal, wouldn't it, if we couldn't get agreement. It'd be an interesting decision. But we have, in the past, previously had explanatory text in our plans that talk about this sort of by-design avoidance of policy thresholds. And it's happened all throughout my career as a planner over the 30-odd years, is, you know, somebody coming in at 24 dwellings because that avoids the need for an education contribution or whatever it is. And there have been many examples over the years where I can think that we've negotiated affordable housing, for example, where a site was clearly capable of accommodating on area more than a threshold, but the actual number was lower. I can think of one in Malton within a mile of here.
Are there any more questions? Councillor Mrs. Frank.
In that case, could we then condition a whole site to say that those five houses could be permitted as long as there was no other houses built on that site, i.e. use it for playfields or...
I think you'd need more than a condition. And I think if you were that concerned about it, you'd have to consider refusal. You know, we're not happy to approve five because we fear more, and we'd have to have that negotiation. I mean, if officers think there's an issue and they'll enter a negotiation, but at the end of the day, if you can't get to where you want to be, you end up having to make a decision on whether or not you're happy to approve what you've got before you without anything and run the risk at future point, or seek to negotiate something different. It's clearly not an ideal position, but this is where we are. I mean, officers have spent, from the money that we're potentially losing out of here, the amount of officer and legal time spent sorting those agreements out, it runs into days and weeks, and not just planning officer time, you know, legal support and all the rest of it. And here we are, you know, where there was a very, very strong High Court decision, and it's been turned on its head by Court of Appeal. A surprising decision, but nevertheless, that's what we're left with. So it's a sort of a don't shoot the messenger type of report, really. We are where we are because of things beyond our control.
Do you have any more questions? Okay, I will move the recommendation. It does go to full council. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick, thank you. So I will put that to the vote, please. Thank you, that's 6 in favour. Did you abstain? Sorry?
Councillor Maud not voting.
Oh, have you... Councillor Maud, did you vote?
Councillor Maud?
Councillor Maud, did you vote on that? Oh, sorry, no. Could you please vote? Thank you. Thank you. That's 7 in favour and 1 abstention. So moving on to agenda item 6, schedule of items to be determined by committee. Agenda item 7 is application number 16/00469/73A. Application site is Willow House, Main Street, Normanby.
Thank you, Chairman. Members will recall this was the application which was the subject of the site visit following the last planning committee. And I do have some photos. I think it was a reasonably well-attended site visit. I wasn't there myself, but I know Tim came back and said there were a number of members there to view what was... proposed at the last committee and the members' reasons for going for the site visit. I'll quickly, these are some views up and down the street, but I'll quickly go to the ones that show the site itself, if I can. Yeah, here we go. And so this is the new dwelling side of the church wall, and the fence in question was at the back of the site behind that hedgerow, and that was what it... In essence, that was what we were going to see, which was the concerns that it was originally intended to be a continuation of wall, albeit slightly offset. And this is the view from the churchyard. So the fence you saw is actually behind that sort of greenery in the background there. So that was really what members went to see, Chairman. I don't think there's anything more for me to add from an officer point of view. Clearly, members who went on the site will have formed a view, and that's what we're here to debate again tonight.
Thank you. Are there any questions? No, we don't have the local member, so if anybody would like to take this one. Councillor Maud, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, when we got there, what we saw was the wooden fence which had been built on the ground belonging the developed site next door. The original plan showed that the wall would continue where this down where this edge was, but that found out that was on the first part of the wall belongs to the church, and the hedge also belongs to the church, and so it would have been a case of removing the hedge and building the wall where the hedge had been on ground which was not in the ownership of the. The site being developed next door, and from the site I was quite happy. It was very tidy at both sides, and from the hedge side, well, it's as it always has been. It's a hedge, which is very good for wildlife and everything. And I would have no questions about this. I would just like to move approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote, please. Thank you, that's 8 in favour and 1 abstention. It is approved, thank you. Move on to agenda item 8. Application number 16/00729/Major Full. The application site is Gravel Pit Farm, Sandhutton, Malton. The proposal is for the erection of a 16,000 bird free-range egg-laying unit with two associated feed bins, parking stroke turning area and a concrete apron.
Thank you, Chairman. Just before I show a few photos, Chairman, I just wanted to update the report and responses. Whilst the Environmental Health Officer had raised no objection in the report, sorry, I'm just on the wrong one. It said no views received to date. In fact, the Environmental Health Officer had no objection, Chairman. It does say so in the report. And North Yorkshire Highways and Transportation had, in fact, recommended conditions, so the report is just needed updated on the consultation section. In terms of those responses, the EHO, the only comment that we had from the EHO was to they had no objection subject to the manure waste management being carried out as set in the planning statement. Sometimes there can be fly problems with the egg-laying units, and as provided it's collected and dealt with as set out in the planning statement, then that would be fine. So an additional condition is recommended to that effect. Parish Council still is one of no response at this point, Chairman. I've just got one or two photographs I can just show you. This is the site, or close to the site of the anaerobic digester, Chairman, so I think most members will be familiar with the broad location. And within the site, this is the nearest agricultural building, and the proposed building would be in this next parcel of land to it. So panning across, there's this block of woodland, and that's the main part of the anaerobic digester within the site. So the building sits in this foreground next to it, next to the range of farm buildings. This is a view looking back towards the existing range of farm buildings. And this view, again, is further down the field, next to the anaerobic digester, looking back at where the building would be located. So as you can see, it's located fairly close to the grouping of the main farm buildings. I'll call it the main road, but the road that goes from the A64 to Sandhutton is located beyond there, so you come down a narrow track from that road to get to the site. That's pretty much it, Chairman. We've not had any objections as such. Obviously, it's a site that has had a history associated with the anaerobic digester, but I think locally there have been no particular problems with this application. And there are conditions recommended with regard to matters relating to manure, storage, external lighting, and also highway related matters, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Gary. I did speak with Parish Council last night. I did manage to make the meeting to discuss this with them. The comments that we have had was to do with the flies, and can we make sure that condition about the disposal of manure is quite robust to deal with? The other issue that was raised with me was the deposition of mud on the road. Now, members may remember that we had that conditioned in the anaerobic digester, and the planning inspector, for whatever reason, decided to take it out, and actually it did cause considerable problems, particularly when they were constructing the anaerobic digester in the really wet weather, and we had dollops of mud all over the road. And the road at the point where this happens is on a sharp bend that goes over a hill and round, and actually did cause some problems with the villagers on that road with all the mud. So I would really like to see that not just the provision of wheel washing, but wheel washing has to happen, particularly if it's muddy. I don't say they have to wash them if it's a dry day and there's no mud, but I do think with the benefit of hindsight, this needs to happen. And finally, and it comes back to traffic through the conservation village and a single track bridge, I'd like to see the traffic access the site from the A64 and leave the site onto the A64 as well.
Chairman, I think that's the intention of both conditions 5 and 6. I think it's the dilemma with anything there was the inspector previously had sort of, well, he dispensed with the condition, didn't he? So he didn't sort of go forward with the provision of the facility. In essence, I think the logic was, well, the highway authority's got powers it can use, but of course, you know, didn't necessarily get used. All we can do really on this in this type of situation is require the provision of the wheel washing facilities, which is what condition 5 does. And logically, you'd think, well, if it's provided, then people will use it. They've got no excuse not to. But it's a bit like having the garage on the house and then putting everything bar the car, isn't it? You know, you can provide things, but you can't necessarily make people use things. But if having imposed this condition, which I think is not unreasonable because we've learnt from experience of the previous set of circumstances, then if there are or do happen to be incidents where we've got clear mud trails leading all over the place, that if the highway authority then is getting complaints about it, you know, there's something or should be something practically on the site to say, right, well, stop and wash these wheels down before you're then going down the track. Because I think the inspector took the view that because the track was so long and gravelly, it would knock everything off before it got to the end of the track. Well, that didn't work like that, did it? And because of particular weather conditions. So that's something that I would hope the condition will require them to provide. And then if there is a problem, then, you know, we can make sure they use it. Or there's a more immediate solution than if they hadn't provided it, and then there is a problem, and they're having to then retrospectively bring hoses and whatever it is onto the site. And same with the routing. I mean, that's the intention of that condition.
Yeah. Are there any more questions? I think that was a question from Councillor Mrs. Goodrick. But Councillor Mrs.
Am I right in thinking that these birds are going to be free range and outside? Because there's a very pretty picture of some running outside the shed. And is that room?
You might regard that,
is the room on?
They can get out of the bolt holes and go in, and then it might bring them in and shut them in.
And is the room on that piece of land for 16,000 birds? Because this is for a 16,000. It's a lot of birds.
I think our perception, what we might call free range, in order to be able to write free range on a box of eggs, is probably less little house on the prairie than you might think. It's
building, they're contained at a level that enables them to be sold as free range eggs, but actually they're brought in at night and contained in the building, partly because of predation and foxes and all manner of stuff.
And on page 32 it says there will be a typical range perimeter
fencing. Yeah.
Will that stop chickens? It doesn't look like, well, it should keep chicken fence.
Well, I mean, I suppose any over-enthusiastic chicken might want to try and get over there, but it's they surprisingly keep together. I speak from personal experience of an allotment holder, and I've got somebody who's got chickens on the next door allotment, and there's one in particular that does seem to like some of the things I'm growing, but the rest of them seem to stay where they are. Even though they could fly, they have flight. But the perimeter fencing is not tall fencing.
Any more questions? No. Okay, we'll move into debate. Local member is Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I said, I did attend the parish council meeting last night to get views from the parish council. Their view is that this is a legitimate farming practice, and as such, provided the conditions that I mentioned earlier are put on the development, they can see no reason for us to refuse it, and I agree entirely with that position. So on that basis, I'll recommend it for approval.
just while members were looking at that, those pages, in fact, pages 33 and 34 were the pages of the design and access and planning statement that the environmental health officers were referring to in terms of site waste management and flies and all those sorts of things. So that they're saying that's what they're going to do, and he's saying, right, well, let's pin it to that.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I'd like to second that. I think that as a committee we've done all we can to mitigate the normal things that happen in farming, so let's hope that the residents are happy with the outcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Move on to agenda item 9, application number 16/00825/ Major Full. Application site is Newcliff House, Cross Lane, Sinnington. The proposal is for the erection of a nursery building and finishing building for the housing of pigs.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to update members, Sinnington Parish Council have confirmed that they have no objection to the proposed development. As members are aware, it's an existing farmstead. The site currently operates as a pig building, as a pig farm. And the purpose of the new buildings, A is a nursery building and one is a finishing building, is because the sows are now producing more piglets than they previously were, and it's to give them more space so they meet the welfare standards. And the finishing building, which presently doesn't finish on site, they go off to alternative sites that he owns, the farmer. But they are now at capacity in terms of their permit, so he needs to allow for the finishing of pigs on the site, so there'll be no more pigs coming to the site. It's just making better space for the existing pigs. As you can see, the buildings are relatively contained, and the two new proposed buildings will just go in line with the existing buildings, will be of a similar scale, design and finish, so we'll, when viewed from any viewpoint, will just be viewed in the context. The site is heavily well screened, which I'll show you in a minute, and there are really very limited viewpoints onto the site. This kind of just gives you an idea of the scale of the site. There are a lot of pigs there. Sorry, it's extremely dark, that photograph, but that just shows the, just over here is the A170. And it's just the hedging in between the sites. We didn't necessarily feel that there was any need for any additional planting, but the farmer did agree to plant some. So in the interest of enhancement, we obviously welcome any additional planting that someone's willing to do. That is the existing boundary to the site. So the nursery building would just go beyond there, so it is already heavily screened. But I think it's an intention to plant some along this boundary, which will further screen the finishing building from the A170. Access road onto the site. This is from the lane that leads to the nearest farm, which I mentioned in my report, which is where the caravan site is. The buildings will go on this end, whereas the caravan site is further over to the east where the existing buildings are, so it's not considered that what is proposed on site will have any further impact than what is already existing on site. This is the view from the A170 looking at the site over here. As you can see, very well screened, so any vantage point will be very limited. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, again, sorry, Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I should know very well because it's just down the road from me, but where is this farm?
That's kind of the point. It's very well screened. So you'll probably have noticed the cliff view caravan sign on the side of the road. It's just that access to it, so it's just a very ambiguous, not very obvious track, and it's just on the side of the road, because there are a number of farms along the A170, especially on the southern side, and this one is probably one of the best screen sites, so that's probably why you've never noticed it.
Thank you. Any more? We're going to debate now. We don't have a local member, but it used to be my patch, so I have absolutely no problem with this. Like you say, it is well screened, and I'll move approval. Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Thank you. It's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Move on to agenda item 10, application number 16/00834/Major Full. The application site is East Eslington World Farm, Winmore Lane, West Eslington. And the proposal is for the erection of an agricultural building for the housing of pigs.
Thank you, Chairman. The unit will be to house 1,600 fattening pigs. The site currently has 3,200 bed and breakfast pigs per annum on a 800 at a time batch basis. I think it's helpful to show you some photographs. This is the farm complex. It's located to the south of East Heslington, on top of the World Area of High Landscape Value, a clearly established farmstead, a mix of arable and pigs. The proposed... this is just a photograph looking north. You'll see near the hedgerow is where the proposed building will be. There's obviously existing brick building on the site. This is just looking south. You can see the existing agricultural buildings again. This is a photograph looking directly into the site. There's clear shelter belt to the north and a mature hedgerow that'll help to screen the building. The applicants also said that they are quite willing to add some additional landscaping as well. It's just a further picture looking down Winmore Lane and the existing buildings on the site. There's a recently built manure store, which is where the manure from this building will go. Can see the manure store there to the right and the shelter belt to the north. And this is just a picture stood in the farmstead looking back to where the building will be. So the pigs will be on a straw based system, and the manure management plan's been submitted as part of the application. And the environmental health officers had said that that has to be adhered to. So if there's any questions.
Thank you. Anybody got any questions? No? Okay, again, we don't have a local member. I think you'll be quite close, are you, Councillor Ward?
Yeah, I'm quite.
Could you put your mic on, please, Councillor Ward?
Okay, but I've known this site for many years. I've no problems with it. And why has it come before us? Is it because of the site of the size of the building? Yeah, but it's away from anyone, and fairly well. It's got to blend in with the rest of the farm buildings, and it's an extension to their agricultural business. I'd like to move approval. Okay.
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I know this area really well, and it's always a nicely kept farm. It's nice and tidy. I think the animal welfare will be good. It's nice to know that the pig industry seems to be thriving, so we want to support that, so I'm happy to second it.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote. Thank you. Once again, that's unanimous. It is approved. Move on to agenda item 11. Application number is 16/00848/Major Full. The application site is Hatfields Land Rover, Thornton Road Industrial Estate, Road Pickering. Proposal is for the demolition of the existing Land Rover showroom and workshop and erection of a Land Rover dealership showroom and workshop facility with ancillary areas, outdoor vehicle display area, outdoor vehicle storage area and staff customer parking areas with sections of additional 2.2 high wire mesh boundary fence.
Thank you, Chairman. Just got a couple of updates. The tree and landscape officer has no objection and a landscaping condition is recommended as part of the recommendation, Chairman. The members will have noted from the report that there was a reference to outstanding surface water drainage issue. And there's been an exchange of correspondence between the case officer, the lead local flood authority and also the applicant's architect to the effect that a drainage specialist is preparing a drainage strategy to deal with the matter of surface water drainage. We do know that there are, or in the locality, there are some clay subsoils which may mean that a full system of soakways may not work, Chairman, but clearly a strategy to develop a sud system rather than piling everything into the surface water drainage system is a preferable solution. So the lead local flood authority are happy with that approach, Chairman. So there is a requirement for an extra sud drainage condition, drainage strategy. Members will also have noted from the report that at the time of going to press, we had an outstanding objection relating to a right-of-way across the site. That's now been resolved, and the objectors have removed their objection. So we were in receipt of the plan that members will have seen on the late pages, and the RD and BA Brown have confirmed that they're happy with that arrangement, Chairman. I just perhaps help if I showed members some photographs of the site. The Land Rover sort of franchise at Pickering is located on the Thornton Road Industrial Estate. So if you're approaching from the Thornton direction, it's on that side of the Industrial Estate, Chairman, with I'll call it a frontage to the A Road. There's no access from the main road, but it has a public face to the main road. And the entrance to the site is actually through the Industrial Estate to the rear. And this particular proposal involves effectively clearing the site to all intents and purposes and starting again with a new corporate building, which is very much facing towards the Industrial Estate Road as you're coming into the site. So that becomes the front entrance where all the customer car parking, disabled car parking, vehicle display areas and vehicle storage areas are. So in terms of the site... This is the estate road. As you'd have already come in off the A170, and this is turning left into the site. And the site, the new building is actually located at the end of this access road. So this is the main road. So members will be probably familiar as you're heading off towards Thornton Ladale that you get the profile of buildings. And you just get a glimpse of the Land Rover sort of totem pole there, and this is. You're in the way. Just slide back, Chair. So this is the view that you currently get from the main road, and indeed there will still be vehicle display areas in this area, but this building's demolished and the new building is set a little bit further back on the site. So again, just some more views of the site frontage. So this is slightly from the Thornton direction looking back, so none of this planting's affected and you've just got more vehicle display than you have at the moment. And this is coming back. What's going on there? Right, this is the entrance off the main estate road. So the new building is actually sitting in this area here. And these are just some photographs within the rest of the site, Chairman. So you get a feel for the... Yeah, this is better. You can sort of look back on the sort of compound areas on the back of the site. In terms of the actual proposal itself, I mean, I think members will probably appreciate that we're reasonably pleased with the design approach that's being promoted here. It's quite a big building, but it's got that sort of Land Rover corporate style that you've probably seen if you've been travelling around the country. It's, you know, their new style, but I think we're sort of quite pleased we've got that in Pickering and an investment in the town, Chairman. So happy to answer any questions, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions? No? Okay, we'll move to the local member, Councillor Thornton, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I too was very, well, I was somewhat surprised that this building was going to be demolished and rebuilt and just shuffled around the site a bit, but that is their choice. But I too was pleased that they're going to stay in Pickering, providing employment and a centre for Land Rover vehicles. So long as the neighbours are now happy and the newts are going to be looked after, I can see no problem with this, and I would like to propose approval.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burke.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, when I saw this application, I was absolutely delighted. Not only that there's the confidence to invest in Rydale, in Pickering, to keep jobs, to probably have more jobs, but to actually improve the facilities. Now, with no disrespect, and I'm sure the company is doing really, really well, when I drive past, I always sort of think it's quite sells tractors and things like that, and I know it doesn't, but I think that by having this new build that looks really great, it can compare, it can live up to what we see in York and these big cities, I think that it will be brilliant. So well done to the applicants for having confidence to invest in Rydale. I wish them the best of luck. I've seconded it.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Someone's not voted. Thank you. Again, that's unanimous. It is approved. Move on to agenda item 12, the application number 16/00901/ Major Full. The application site is West Ings Bungalow, New Road to Kirkdale Lane, Kirby Moorside, and the proposal is for the erection of an agricultural building for storage purposes following demolition of existing barn.
Thank you, Chair. The applications brought to members this evening, as the floor area exceeds 1,000 square metres. The applicant runs an agricultural contractor's business and requires a larger building to store a lot of machinery in, you know, safely. So now I'll show you some photographs. I just thought this was helpful so you can orientate yourself. So this is Kirby Moorside with the main A170, and the application site's down a lane here. This is the Slingsby Aviation employment site. So these are the existing buildings on the site that are proposed to be demolished. This is just looking eastwards where you can see the existing hedgerow, and in the distance you can see the Slingsby aviation site. This is just looking southwards into the open countryside. Planning permission was granted in 2013 for a replacement bungalow, so this is the bungalow that's been built. Again, you can see this existing mature hedge which the building will abut up to. This is just looking back towards the dwelling, and the building will be positioned behind this. This is just looking back down towards the site. I think in the distance you can just see the existing building. So the proposed building will be higher, but it'll still be read in context with the vegetation around the site.
Again, just looking back down towards the site, you can see the bungalow in the distance. This is just the access off the main A170. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions? No. Okay, I'll move to the local member, Councillor Cousins, please.
And I think we should I'll support this. I'd like to move it.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. We need to continue the economic development of the area. I think farming's really important. It's a major part of our economy, and since the building's going to be within the area of a demolished building, I don't see there's a problem with it, so I'm happy to second.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you once again, that's unanimous, it is approved. Now move on to agenda item 13, application number 16/00965, Major Full. The application site is Peckett Yard, East End, Sheriff Hutton. The proposal is the erection of one number 5-bedroom dwelling, 6 number 4-bedroom dwellings, 1 number 3-bedroom dwelling and 4 number 2-bedroom dwellings with associated garaging, parking, amenity areas and landscaping.
Thank you, Chairman. What we're asking members to do in this instance is not to consider the proposal itself, it's just to see whether or not members are interested in carrying out a site visit ahead of hearing being presented with the application. The application is generating a lot of local interest. The Parish Council are holding an open evening on the 18th of July, and it's just so that members are in a position, if they would like to go see the site ahead of being presented with it, to give you the option to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay. I will move a site visit is taken. Does anybody want to second that? Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Burr.
I'll second that. That's something that we've done, and it has proved very useful before an application comes to us. So, sensible suggestion from our officer.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, I'll put that to the vote. We're voting it in favour or against a site visit. Thank you, that's unanimous. We will have a site visit. I'll arrange the date towards the end of the meeting. So now move on to agenda item 14, application number 16/00013, Major Outline. The application site is the Showfield, Pasture Lane, Moulton. And the proposal is for the residential development use class C3 for 87 number dwellings.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm aware that we've got a couple of speakers, so I'll try and be brief. I do have a number of updates, although we didn't have a huge amount of comments with the original application. We have had a plethora of comments over the weekend, so I'll try and be as complete as I can, although some of the comments I think are from one of the speakers tonight. So I think probably all members have had a Dear Councillor letter from Mr. Conlon. I think that's that. So I think most members expressed an interest at the start of the meeting. In essence, the letter that I'm reading from is making reference to the matter of air pollution in Moulton. His comments on overall trend in air pollution levels, and I think if members have already had that, I'm not going to read that all out, but you can clearly hear what's being said with that letter. I've also received a further email from Paul O'Reilly, who's referred to in the main report on the late pages. Again, Paul O'Reilly, who lives in Middle Cave Road, has made reference to the air quality report 2016 and what she regards as evidence is increasing in congestion, resulting in new traffic already worsening air quality. That's their view. And on those grounds alone, the application for another 87 houses should be refused. I've also had a further email from a Mr. Donaldson, who apologises for the late submission, but again makes reference to the air quality report and expresses the view that air quality must be addressed in the towns Moulton and Norton before approving new development. I've also had a letter from a Dr. Garthwaite, who has addressed the letter, dear councillors, but I don't think members have received a letter from Dr. Garthwaite. No. In that case, I'll read this one out. It's fairly brief, which we received. I would urge you to turn down this application. As a medical doctor, I'm extremely concerned about the short and long-term health implications due to the historical poor air quality in Moulton. I'm particularly concerned with regard to children's lung health, as there are now several studies showing the damage done to the lungs is permanent. There is also more evidence that the particulate matter in the air pollution, which becomes embedded in lung tissue, is causing long-term damage leading to fibrosis. This is stiffening of the lung tissue. The recent report states that the reduction in nitrogen dioxide that had been monitored in the three sites on Wheelgate has now stopped. That is, the falling of levels is now static at 37, I think it's micrograms per cubic metre. I'm looking at Dr. Thornton. MCG per cubic metre, I think it's micrograms per cubic metre. This report also states that the Yorkers Gate monitor has written from 44 to 43 micrograms per cubic metre, which is over the legal limit of 40. The conclusion can only mean that the extra housing on Broughton Rise is already affecting the air quality and all the houses have not yet been built, let alone occupied. I would again urge you to turn down this application. I would also urge you to continue close monitoring the nitrate NO2 levels, preferably real-time monitoring until the present build is completed and indeed afterwards to ascertain the impact that new builds have on air quality of Moulton and beyond. I also received an email from, I can find it now, a Mr. Young. Yeah. Who didn't leave an address, but I believe lives on the Mount, who wishes to lodge concerns about the lack of clarity regarding how additional traffic will be managed effectively and clarity regarding the management of pollution levels, which present a public health risk. I've also then been receiving what essentially is an extended email conversation, Chairman. The council's environmental health officer, Mr. Richmond, responded to an email from Mr. Conlon, and I'll just refer back to that because this is the email that was received at the weekend, Chairman. And in response, the environmental health officer says, "Dear Mr. Conlon, thank you for your email regarding the figures in the 2016 report." This is the air quality report, Chairman. "You are correct in respect the figure for monitoring point Old Moulton Gate 1 for 2014 in the 2016 report is an error and should be blank due to the lack of data for that year. I'll arrange for the amendment to be made to the report and resubmitted to DEFRA and similarly to our website. To put this into context, this is only one of site of nine sites measured within the air quality management area. As stated in your email, the levels for this site in 2012 were 41 micrograms per metre cubed and for 2015 were 31. As stated in the 2016 report, in 2011, six of the nine monitoring sites exceeded the air quality objective. In 2014, this was one exceedance and one site equal to the AQO, and only one exceedance in 2015. In 2015, there was a reduction in annual mean concentrations at five of the nine sites within the Aquama. The trend for NO2 over the past 6 years within the Aquama shows a clear general downward trend in NO2 levels." So I think, Chairman, that remains the Environmental Health Officer's position. I also received, Chairman, and I'm not sure if all councillors received this, as part of the responses to emails that had been circulated from Councillor Jowett, who I think probably had circulated that to most members, had previously not submitted a response, but expressed concerns of traffic and emissions in the Old Moulton Gate and Butcher Corner area. and additional building on Schofield Road past the past Schofield Road past the primary school, and urges rejection until traffic management options have been installed. And finally, Chairman, in terms of people for third parties responding, I had a further email, which I think probably most members received, from Mr. Thackeray of Broadby, who urges rejection of the scheme as set out before in his detailed letter on the 8th of April 2016, which is referred to in the agenda papers. In response, the applicant's air quality consultants have responded and confirmed that the impacts of the development could be significant, but that's without mitigation, Chairman. And they point out to the proposals to have household travel plans, and also note that the council's environmental health officer supports the proposal, stating that the air quality assessment is a robust document and requiring additional mitigation beyond that suggested, with particular reference to electrical charging infrastructure for every dwelling. So I think that's the sort of where we've got to at the moment, Chairman. I think that's probably as up to date as I need to be at the moment. I'm aware that we've also got the applicant here as one of the speakers, Chairman. So I think at this point, rather than me go through a detailed lot of photos, which are, these are the before photos, Chairman, we now have houses coming out of the ground on this site. But I think if the public speakers speak, and then I can show members where how the site's developing out and where the site of this current application is. As I was stressed, Chairman, this site does have planning permission for residential development, but as members will be aware, it was for an outline planning permission for circa, at the time, 227 dwellings. That is now, in effect, being asked to be increased to 314 dwellings, but it's on a site that has planning permission in principle.
Thank you. So we do have two speakers on this one. The first speaker is an objector, Mr. Ian Conlon, please. Yeah, you're live now, and I'll give you 3 minutes, and I'll give you an audible 30-second warning when you've 30 seconds left. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to reject this application on the grounds of traffic impact and air pollution. The traffic model indicates 50% of traffic turning left along Highfield Road, most of which will pass Moulton's primary school, and the narrowing to one lane beyond the school, already a significant bottleneck. This is now a critical safety issue. It will be worsened by an HGV ban on the level crossing, leading to more HGVs using this route, and together with this application would amount to an unacceptable impact on that area. Within Moulton's air quality management area in the centre of Moulton, the applicant predicts a sustained breach of air quality limits with the scheme, in direct conflict with paragraph 124 of the National Planning Policy Framework. They also say there is currently no trend up or down in the nitrogen dioxide limits. A government estimated 50,000 people die prematurely each year in the UK from air pollution. Even small increases in nitrogen dioxide lead to a significant negative impact. For instance, permanent damage to lungs in children. Dr. Ian Medway told Parliament's Environment Committee, "Not attaining our limit values should be seen in a very negative light. They are not a magic barrier we have to cross. They are our minimum expectations to protect public health." Now, the latest Rydale District Council air quality report, despite showing background levels falling in Rillington, Sherborne and Helmsley, shows an increase in Yorkers Gate last year. It's been above the legal limit of 40 for many years. It dropped from 46 just to 43 when Bramling Fields was open, and this last year, in 2015, it started to go up again, 43 to 44. Wheelgate has been dropping for several years. Last year, it stopped falling. Your guess is where it's going next. because Wheelgate has the traffic coming from Broughton Manor.
Seconds, please.
It has the traffic coming from Schofield Lane coming into the centre. Again, your call. What's going to happen next? This the evidence of upward pressure of another 87 houses would conceivably, probably, break that legal limit. Unproven mitigation does not cancel this. Unproven reduction from an HGV ban, unimplemented HGV ban does not cancel this.
Thank you.
The decision is yours alone, not the officers. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, the next speaker is Mr. C. Vivienne, the applicant, please. Again, you've got 3 minutes, and I'll give you a 30-second audible warning. Thank you.
Good evening. As I said, my name is Charles Vivian, Development Manager for Commercial Development Projects, and we're working in partnership with Fitzwilliam Trust Corporation. The application before you this evening relates to an increase in the number of homes on the Schofield site and brings the density of the undeveloped phases in line with that of Phase 1, which is currently being built out by Linden Homes. Notwithstanding the increase, the density is still modest at 27 dwellings per hectare across the whole site and therefore in keeping with the local area. The application is therefore far from overdevelopment and represents efficient use of the land. The introduction of the Community Infrastructure Levy, or SIL, charging has made financial viability very challenging on this site because it is non-negotiable. In addition to any affordable housing and public open space, the two will equate to over £900,000, which is obviously a significant sum. In order to strike a balance, we've agreed with the officers who have taken independent advice on the viability that the scheme will nevertheless deliver 10% discount for market housing to be provided either on site at the Schofield or at Pisa Hills as an addition to the original affording housing requirement. We are aware of concerns raised by the Town Council to this application during consultation, but note that the proposal is not premature in advance of the local plan sites document. The site already has permission, and the local planning authority must continue to maintain a 5-year supply of housing land. North Yorkshire County Council Highway have raised no objection with regard to traffic impact, and there is no objection from the Drainage Board or the Environment Agency with regard to drainage and flooding. Our engineers have been working closely with all these consultees to ensure there are no harmful impacts on the proposal from the proposal. Please note that our traffic assessments were based on the assumption that the food store on Wentworth Street was actually built, so we feel, again, that they're particularly robust. Air quality is obviously the big issue locally, and that has been the subject of significant analysis as part of this application. As stated, the Council's Environmental Health Officer is happy that the analysis we have provided is robust.
30 seconds, please.
And that is subject to mitigation, there will be no harmful impact from this development. We, however, in addition to this, we recognise that the development of electric cars and the phasing out of particularly diesel engines is the way that air quality impacts can be significantly improved. A government forecast report out this week identifies that by 2027, more than half of all new cars and vans sold in the country will be electric. This is likely to...
Thank you, that's your time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chairman, I'm not sure as I need to sort of add anything in the light of the speaker's comments, chance, but I just thought it would be helpful for members to sort of cast their mind back to getting on for 2 years ago now when we took the decision on the Moulton cluster sites. So there were the four sites that were part and parcel of an extraordinary meeting of the planning committee, I think it was at the time. And this was the site we referred to as the Schofield site. So this is the view as if you're coming back out of Wentworth Street car park onto Pasture Lane. So you're looking over towards the moors in the background, and as we pan round, sorry, something wrong with this tonight. This is the view down past the cemetery wall towards the back of the Schofield Lane Industrial Estate. As you can see, there's a hillside here, footpath going off down there. And this is a view towards the sort of middle way point of the site, taken from Outgang Road, which is the unsurfaced track which runs to the western boundary of the site, which the A64's down at this point here, so just beyond the other side of this hedgerow. And as you can see, even today, this back half of the site is still in use as agriculture. It goes back a long way. And here, panning forward from the higher ground, you can look forward. This is one of the materials compounds for the Phase 1 site, and we're looking down over Schofield Lane Industrial Estate and Pease Hills beyond. It gives you the location. This is a view from the north-western corner of the site, at the lowest point of the site, so you can see the boundary with the A64 here. Obviously, you can't see the A64 behind that hedgerow, but this is... again on high ground going to the low ground, and this is the, in essence, panning backwards, the part of the site that is the bit that is the subject of this additional application, although the outline planning permission related to the whole site. And in the distance you can just see the rooftops of the new dwellings being built coming out of the ground. So this is the view from Pasture Lane today. So this is Phase 1. As you say, these, I think the first few residents are actually moving in. There was a delivery, big Pickford-style delivery van as I was taking these photographs. As you can see, the Phase 1 scheme, this is just panning around past the cemetery wall. You can see the open space. The roundabout is largely complete now on this part of the site, and there's a big sort of lozenge shape of public open space on the front here, and a sort of a crescent of new dwellings facing out towards the pasture lane. So this is within the site, down towards where the roundabout's being constructed. So Schofield Lane in the back here, the noise acoustic barrier still to go in, but these are the two show homes. Point these out, these are the first single-storey dwellings that were required as part of that scheme, as part of the new plan policy for at least 5% to be single-storey. And then panning back up to towards Wentworth Street. In this area here you can see the configuration of buildings. Now, I think that was something that the applicant's agent pointed out, was that this site, or Phase 1 site, which I gave you the layout in the agenda papers, is being developed somewhere between 27 to 28 to the hectare, which, in although we don't apply density policies nowadays, that's pretty low density. We used to have minimum densities of 30 dwellings to the hectare, but the government dispensed with that. And I think it's fair to say that the layout that we've got now with the additional dwellings proposed is still proposing dwellings being laid out at that sort of density. So in itself, it's not a high-density scheme. But clearly the issues here, Chairman, are around the additional number, the impact on road network, and particularly the comments and concerns about air quality. And, Chairman, that's why I, on this occasion, rather than summarising the comments that we've had in from both the Highways Authority and your Council's Environmental Health Officer, I've copied those in full on the main agenda papers so that you can see what is being said, both in terms of highway matters and also air quality issues. I think it's fair to say, Chairman, that the position of the Environmental Health Officer, who's obviously not here tonight, but is one in terms of air quality, is that without mitigation, clearly any development can have an impact. But that is clearly the point, Chairman, is that we're looking here at a development which is proposing to mitigate its impact. I have no doubt in my own mind, if there was the slightest worry in our Environmental Health Officer's mind here in terms of how this relates to air quality, we'd be looking at an objection. But actually, Chairman, he's suggesting conditional control and support. So I don't think there's really anything more I can add to that, Chairman. He's our expert, and he's given you his opinion.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Gary, for your report. Can you inform the committee where we are currently with our 5-year supply?
currently, as of the last meeting, I think we were a stated position of 5.8 years, Chairman. And I think that is important in the sense that it's referred to in the officer report. What it means is that paragraph 49 of the MPPF is not engaged. Indeed, that was a consideration at the time that we dealt with the outline applications, because I think we had a 4-point-something year supply, and clearly that was a very weak position to be in. However, it is important that we do maintain our five-year housing supply. Our housing supply is quite lumpy, and so in that sense we can count planning permissions and site allocations at Helmsley or whatever. But the pattern of our supply is to some extent dependent on some of the bulkier permissions that have been granted. And obviously the older they get without being implemented, the more that they can drop off the end without reopening old wounds about planning permissions granted in Kirby Moorside. We have a detailed application there for 225 dwellings, which is 2.5 years old, without even a sniff of a reserve matters application coming in. If that drops off the end, we haven't got a 5.8 year supply. I think that the concept of housing supply, we have to envisage it as a conveyor. And if we're building quicker, it's reducing the supply. And on the other hand, if the planning permissions aren't getting granted, it drops off. So actually, it's almost like it's a treadmill that we're on to be able to demonstrate all the time that we've got a five-year housing supply. So as of right now, I'm looking you in the eye and saying we've got a 5.8 year housing supply. If you ask me that question come October, I might not be able to tell you that. So it's a pressure on all authorities to actually maintain that supply.
Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. I've always been concerned about the overstretching of education facilities in Norton, but now this is Malton, and we're having a lot of building going on in Malton, and is the capacity of the primary schools at Malton, and how much difference will these extra 7 houses make to the number of children that could be attending those schools? That's my question. Thank you.
The response of County Council as a consultee for both secondary and primary was that at 2021, if left unavoided, unaltered, there would be a requirement for new school places, additional nearly 22 spaces for the county primary school. Okay. And for the secondary school, a little over 11 places. So that in the normal course of events, up until 1st of March this year, the County Council would have asked for a developer contribution of a certain amount of pounds. Now, SIL pays for that. So the Community Infrastructure Levy, which is a pound per square metre of floor space that comes off the development, at a rate of £85 per square gross internal floor area, pays for all of the infrastructure deficiencies that might arise from development in the district. So it's a different way of... This is probably the first time I've had to try and explain this to you in the context of a particular application. So, for example, here, if we had a developer contribution which totaled £500,000, say, SIL, dependent on the detail of what comes out of it, might be 900,000. But we have to choose what we spend SIL on. It's our choice as a district what we prioritise our projects on. Actually, most of the things on our regulation 1, 2, 3 list are county services. It's education, highways, you know, it's those sorts of big ticket items that we have on our list that we had to demonstrate we had an infrastructure deficiency. So yes, in answer to your question, there's an impact on education, but it's SIL that pays for it. And that SIL level is higher than Section 106 would have been. That's what the developer's just telling you. That's what's affected viability.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Gary, is SIL a ring-fenced pot that it can only be spent on certain projects?
It can only be spent on things on the list, you know, if you remember, we did a list of bits of infrastructure that we felt were things that we wanted to put into our SIL charging schedule, and largely were around, as I've mentioned before, big ticket items relating to either schools, expansions to schools and road schemes and the like. But how we prioritise that spend is this council's decision. So there are discussions to be had with county as to, because you've got county services competing with each other as to how the money is spent, but that's how it's spent. And obviously we've only been collecting it since March, so it's quite early days in that sense. So we're in this transition from Section 106 to SIL. But SIL's more of a, I hate to use the word, a development tax than Section 106, which was, and SIL's not negotiable. The only way SIL changes is if we, in carrying out and moving forward, we find that development values increase or decrease, you know, that we end up with having to review it because of environmental considerations. It will stay as it is. So in SIL terms, we have two different value areas. We've got the high value area, which is £85 per square metre, which is Moulton, and then and most of Rydale. And then we have a lower value area, which is identified as the two Norton wards and the settlements going out on the A64 corridor east towards Scarborough. So they're down at the sort almost half the rate, really. But that's how it's collected. So from now on in, anything that's on that list, we can't ask for Section 106 for. We have to pay for it out of SIL. But it's a high, because it catches more development. It's more costly, I would say, for most developments.
Councillor, Mrs. Goodrick. Yeah.
On that basis, if we're looking at infrastructure, which is roads, air quality, management programmes, schools, etc., it ain't a lot of money. I know it's more than we would have got, but it's still not a lot of money in the pot. And it's what do you develop? And
There are all things that will come, things that will be delivered, and they'll drop off the list. And other things will come forward. I mean, if it depended on what you take to be infrastructure, we might have a flooding scheme come forward, you know, which is, you know, we choose to prioritise above something else. All I can tell you is that to evidence SIL and the need to charge a SIL, you had to identify that there was an infrastructure deficit, and that's very easily done. SIL won't pay for all of the infrastructure deficit, but it will assist organisations like the County Council in their business programming for delivering schools or expansions at schools. I think in this particular instance, if this had been a massive development that required a school, the developer would have had to provide it, because that's the only way they can mitigate it. But actually what they're having to do here is there is an impact, but it's paid through the contribution of SIL.
Councillor Thornton, please.
Thank you, Chair. The business of air quality seems to be of increasing concern, because we don't seem to have really nailed it with the reduction in measurements of nitrogen dioxide. And, you know, although we only have one area perhaps that is showing above the critical limit of 40, we have others hovering around the high 30s, one at 39, and it wouldn't take a great deal of nudging to push that into the level of 40. But the air quality area is deemed to have failed if any of the measurements go above 40. Two things which I think could be very helpful would be and really to find out from Gary or from other officers whether there is a prospect of having real-time measurement of nitrogen dioxide, and whether there is any realistic hope that we can have the results published as soon as they are known, rather than waiting for a year or more before they get compounded, averaged out and presented. Because I'm concerned that although 40 is a, is a maximum. There are some times in the winter, say, when the level's up to 60. And I need to do an awful lot more reading and discussion and talking to medical experts as to the impacts of those individual months. And really, I suspect that day-by-day variation is quite considerable. And there may be impacts from the variation within the day as well as within the month. So do we have an opportunity to have those figures available, and can we look again at real-time monitoring?
I can't answer that question for you. I'd need Steve Richmond in the room to answer that question for you in an accurate manner. What I would suggest to you is that there are and will be variations in readings dependent on weather conditions, temperature inversions, particularly around parts of the aquima where you've got the canyon effect of streets. Because that's what really causes the problem in parts of the town centre where currently we do have, and part of the problem is slow-moving large vehicles is the biggest problem, because it's very much associated with speed of traffic. So the slower the traffic's going through, the worse the air quality situation is, which is why we very much supported the ban on the county bridge as being the first of the schemes that the county had consulted us on, going down as to the lowest level of vehicle that it could do. But members will probably, I mean, not necessarily yourself, but members who have been on this committee long enough will know that the whole thrust of Brambling Fields Junction was to ultimately not just deliver an all-directional junction off the A64 to the Norton Industrial Estates, but actually to deliver that easier route for potentially larger vehicles, rather than coming through Yorkers Gate, through the town, through Castle Gate, down Church Street and all that area. But actually, Brambling Fields was always anticipated to be provided with the complementary measures in terms of traffic regulation that would, if Carrot didn't work, then Stick might. Hence the consultation that we had fairly recently, which I think was reconsidered again at the area committee at the end of June, and rather frustratingly for officers here, I think was deferred for further consultation with residents. But that's the way to, in amongst everything else, all of the electric charging points, travel plans and everything else, is to actually be making the strategic road network work better.
Thank you. I had heard that it had been kicked into the long grass again. And does the area committee have any idea as to when they might have started and completed their consultation? Because this isn't the first one that they've done, I don't think.
You're shooting the messenger here. I wasn't even at the committee. But my understanding was that the consultation that was carried out back in March, I think it was the March meeting, it followed on from the March meeting anyway, involved the County Council consulting a relatively limited number of bodies and organisations, and to all intents and purposes didn't consult residents or any local third parties who might or might not be affected. And that was reported back to the area committee, I think, last week. I'm looking at Councillor Burr, I think it was last week. And so with a recommendation that further consultation be carried out, at which point I think there was, I can't repeat what was said in the office, but it was very disappointing. But I'm not yet familiar with the outcome of that discussion. But that ban was only one, I say ban, that restriction was only one potential avenue of management that was potentially been talked about in quite a number of documents over the years for seeking to control the most polluting of vehicles in the town, which is generally speaking large vehicles, and particularly large vehicles if they're going slowly.
Councillor Mrs. Burke, could you enlighten us on the...
Yes, at the area committee, to say that we were very, very, very disappointed is an understatement to what has been asked, not over months, but over years, that County Council have not adhered to what was set up regarding the Brambling Fields, and Gary is quite right. It was the complementary measures that were going to make a difference, and the complementary measures have never really been carried out. So we are in a situation whereas we are going round and round in circles, and things are getting worse and worse and worse, and county is not holding its hands up and doing what we expected them to do. So, and Councillor Goodrick was there as well, and we all said that we were sick and fed up of it and it wasn't good enough. We didn't actually air what we wanted to say because it would be unrepeatable. However, I think the officer was under no illusion that we weren't happy. Having said that, I don't know if Councillor Goodrick had the impression, same impression of me. I didn't get an impression that that was going to be fast-tracked. I just got the impression, okay, we got it wrong, we should have tried harder, and we'll come back to you. But I'd like Councillor Goodrick to add what she felt as well, hopefully in exact support of what I'm saying.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Yes, I was at Rydell Area Committee, utterly amazed that the county could make such a hash of it, but let's not go there. The impression I got from Richard Marr, who is the highways manager for the area, was that the consultation was going out within the next 7 to 10 days, and it would include local businesses and residents, etc., who should have been included in the original consultation. But unfortunately, because of the legalities of it all and making sure that consultation is properly carried out so that we can put the restriction in place, they've got to do this consultation again. None of which we're terribly happy about, because the next area committee is 3 months down the line, and we're going round and round the radical road and disappearing up our own exhaust pipes, as the saying goes, at the moment. But he was made under no illusions how annoyed everybody in the room was that this hadn't happened. It is undoubtable that we need these complementary measures to try and mitigate the air quality problems that we've got in the town. And if we can do that, that will be fantastic. But if we mitigate them now, we're adding further traffic to the situation. So I do think we need a more holistic look at all of it as in the whole to see if there's more that we can do. And county should also be on board when we do that.
But I think, Chairman, in the meantime, we've got a planning application that we're having to deal with. And I'm sure the council solicitor will say, well, we can't impose an embargo on development. That would be unlawful. So you've got to make a balanced planning decision on the merits of the scheme. And that's the dilemma it leaves us in. I'm not an environmental health officer. I wouldn't pretend to be, and I'm not a highway engineer either. All I can tell you is that we've carried out those consultations, and the formal responses we've had are in the agenda papers before you. It leaves us in an invidious position, but the professional recommendation is the one that you've got on your agenda papers, and it's not a comfortable position. I'm a resident of Moulton, as much as anybody else in this room who happens to live in Moulton. But that's where we are.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I would guess that the air quality at Butcher Corner and environment relies on the fact that you've got clean air arriving into Moulton. Has anybody among the officers considered the possibility that in not too distant a time we may be getting already polluted air arriving in Moulton? If the wind is blowing to the north east, it will be coming from the INEOS fracking wells around the south of Moulton and Norton. So we've got a threat of not getting Brambling Fields sorted. We've got a threat of having more cars introduced from a housing scheme, and we've got a threat from the development of fracking to the south of Moulton.
You really cannot make this planning decision based on what might not happen through some fracking applications that have yet to manifest themselves or might not even You just couldn't stand up in a public inquiry if you refused an application on that basis and have any prospect of reasonably defending yourself. In terms of the car industry, I think quite a lot of people would point to the car industry and saying actually through manufacturing it's making a pretty good fist of actually cleaning its act up in terms of engine quality, engine emissions, electrical vehicles, all of the like. So you're in a bit of a hole here in terms of actually saying, well, what can we, you know, these are all very real concerns, but what have you got here that you can put on a refusal of a planning permission and make it stick? It's difficult.
Chair, against the dismissal of a potential air quality issue from fracking, we've got the hope of 50% of cars being electric in another 11 years, the hope that people will abide by the traffic plan, the hope that they will walk to do their shopping, and the hope that mitigation measures will actually be successful. I think we're balancing hopes and threats, some more vague than others.
And you have to make a planning decision on the balance of probabilities of the information before you. It's not beyond reasonable doubt. It's not a criminal law test. And on the basis of what we know of the car manufacturing industry, whatever the decision is of the Brexit vote last week, that the European legislators will still mean that the car manufacturers develop and refine their engines to increasingly more sophisticated levels. And I think that will happen. And you know, if it's European law that's still driving that, then it's still going to affect what people buy off the showroom floor at the end of the day. You know, I don't know what more I can say, really, Chairman. We've got a professional officer looking at what he considers to be a robust report on air quality, saying yes, there will be an impact, but it's a mitigatable impact, and that's why he's recommending that we should approve the application, but subject to his conditions. He's, you know, this man has been working for Rydell for years. He lives in the towns, not in Moulton, but Norton. You know, he's familiar with the issues. If he had a problem, he'd be telling us.
Are there any more questions? Nope. Okay, we'll move into debate. Local member, Councillor Mrs. Burr, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm really pleased that we've had a lot of questions, a lot of discussions, which probably brings everything into context. Us councillors who sit round this table are under tremendous pressure from all angles. We've got our guidance to follow, we have a duty to provide housing, we have a duty to look after our residents, and we are custodians of our towns, of land, etc., etc. And the decisions that we make will have an impact, like, for example, what was built in the 60s. Whether you liked it or not, it had an impact. So what we've got to do is we've just got to look at this with a calm head, and we've got to look at the background. And we had an application that came to us, and it was an application that was a trade-off, because if you remember, it was for the new livestock centre, and we had to balance this application and decide what we were going to actually allow. And I believe, with a heavy heart, I believe that we probably got it right, because we didn't particularly want as many houses, but we got the houses and we've got the livestock centre. I know it's not ready yet, but I have every confidence that it's going to come to fruition. So we had that dilemma, and we on balance, we took that decision. And as I say, probably, you know, with a heavy heart, we did it, and we were happy with the numbers that we gave, or we accepted the numbers that we gave. Now, Moulton has completely changed forever, and you don't have to be a resident of Moulton or Norton to notice how Broughton Manor and all the other houses are going up quicker than probably you can eat ice cream. It has completely changed what Moulton looks like. And whether you like it or not, that's the situation we're in. And it's got to be said, people are buying these houses. So we know that there's a need. However, I think Gary has tried to allude about how can we resist. And that's another thing that we've got to consider, because we're always told, you know, could we defend this? Is this something that, you know, you've got to have good planning reasons? Well, I sat at a planning inquiry for most of the time, and it's quite stressful listening to arguments. But what you've got to do when we vote, you've always got to think sensibly about everything, not just what is actually in front of you. And sometimes applications are balanced. And so this is one that I feel we've got to really think about what we do. Now, the Fitzwilliam Trust, I believe, a personal opinion, I feel they got a good deal out of us with their allocation of houses. And we could say we got a good deal because we're getting our livestock centre. But that balance can't be tipped. And at the moment, my personal feeling and feelings of many people in Moulton that have seen Moulton change, they don't like it, but change happens, so we have to embrace it, are saying, wow, when is it all going to stop? And we've got to think about that, haven't we? Moulton Town Council, I was at Moulton Town Council meeting, and they were very uneasy about this. And what we've got to do is we've got to look at this particular application as it stands. It's on the table. And although we are advised by Gary certain criteria has to fit, in this case I do think we have to look at the wider picture and think, if it was challenged, how would we defend, etc., etc. So there is one big thing here that a lot of people are concerned with, and it's the good old culprit. You know, I've sat round this table for many a year, and good old Butcher Corner keeps coming up. Whether we like it or not, we can say we've got this report, we can say we've got that report, but whether we like it or not, it hasn't gone away. And I don't know how many times you walk around Moulton. I walk around Moulton much more frequently now with a pram in front of me, and the times I am stopped to take in the smell, that disgusting smell. However, maybe we have to put up with the disgusting smell. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But there's a lot of issues regarding what is being asked of the Fitzwilliam Trust, and I know we have been told that, in a way, we have to have some sympathy for the developer because they maybe aren't going to make as much money. Well, as I've said before many times, you go into an operation, you go into a business deal, and that was what we agreed, that was what we said that we were happy to give you. So we can't have any disagreement or agreement about how much money you're going to make and how much cost it's incurring. I happily voted for the number of houses, and you all followed, and I hope you will follow me in this decision. I was happy with 227, not happy, but it had to be, with the trade-off, and now we're being asked to increase 227 to 314, an increase of 87. So, you know, how many cars do we have in one dwelling? We don't have one, but we have two, sometimes three. You know, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds have cars now, whether we like it or not. And if there's two children in a family, they both want a car. So we could have three. So we've got to think of all this. And another problem is about how we actually monitor the travel plans that are being put in front of us. We've talked about county, and maybe I should have declared an interest being a county councillor, but I have no faith in county whatsoever regarding Moulton and what is happening. And I hope Councillor Goodrick backed me on that one, because as far as I know, there are no immediate plans, no imminent plans for any new places, any new schools in Moulton. So where are they all going to go? Well, it's not really our problem, because, you know, we aren't supposed to think about that. And also, Bramlin Fields. We were told that county was going to sort out Bramlin Fields, put in the complementary measures, and that would help the traffic being taken out of Moulton. Did that happen? Years and years and years on, we're still talking about it now. So we've got an awful lot of problems here. And another problem that we've got, and I've got a letter from Dr. Surgery, and I don't know if you guys have got the letter from the Dr. Surgery, saying that there's so many more residents coming. You know, we are exacerbated with our surgery. But maybe we aren't supposed to think about that, because that's not what we're supposed to do. But I've got to look at everything. So on balance and thinking about it, I can't support it. And so you won't be surprised at what I'm saying. I just can't support it. Another big worry to me is our traffic management plan, as I'm saying, moving this traffic about left, right and centre in Moulton. So, Gary, you were saying, you know, if it goes to an inquiry, we've got to have some good reasons for refusal. So I think my main reason for refusal is because, as I say, we've already said that they can have 227. So it's actually the overdevelopment of Moulton, which will have a negative impact on our towns and our residents. And we've got serious concerns about the implementation of the traffic management plan, serious concerns about the proposed HGV ban. We're actually trying to put the HGV ban in, and we don't know what the implications will have on that, but maybe we aren't supposed to even think about that. Increased traffic, I do think that's a material consideration. We have talked about the poor air quality in Moulton, and the impact of the nitrogen dioxide. Well, okay, that's maybe not a planning matter, but it's a consideration that we need to think about. And as I've mentioned, the disgusting smell that is on Butcher Corner. Serious concerns about our doctors and our schools and our surgery, and the massive implication that it's going to have on Moulton. So my main summing up, I suppose, is that I've given you what I would say is a pure planning consideration with all the caveats underneath. But the last one that I need to flag up that I really think is pertinent to this, we do not have to say that just because it's come forward an application, we want it. We were under pressure before with not having our five-year supply, but we have got it. And I feel that we've got our five-year supply, they've got 227 that we agreed to, and we feel that 87 is not acceptable. So I therefore move refusal.
Thank you. Do you want to come back, Gary?
Well, just the last point first. Let's deal with that one first. Yes, we have got a five-year housing supply, but you cannot put on a reason for refusal notice. The council has a five-year housing supply, so we will not approve this application. That is just prima facie cost territory. What having a five-year housing supply means is that there isn't a presumption that means it overrules everything else, so you have to take that in the round. And only this last couple of committees, I think when we dealt with Firthland Road at Pickering, we granted permission for 50-odd dwellings there, and we had 5.8 years housing supply, but the consideration of that application in a similar way that we're recommending this one to you was on the basis of, well, if the presumption's not engaged, what other considerations should we take into account in making the planning decision? And those really go back to the principles of planning policy that are enshrined in the local plan strategy. So, for example, for the 50 dwellings at Pickering, the officer was advising you at the meeting, and that was the recommendation that was accepted, was that actually, in principle, Pickering is a location where development should come forward in the plan. And it was a sustainable location, and those sustainability criteria are ingrained in the MPPF as a sort of golden thread that go through everything. And so, on its merits, even though we've got a 5.8-year housing supply at Pickering, members accepted that Pickering was a secondary location for development where we would normally encourage housing development. Yeah. Moulton and Norton is the primary focus for development in the plan. It will provide for in excess of 1,500 houses and probably nearer 1,800 by the time we've finished in the plan period, because that was what the plan allows us to do. And there is a residual amount that we still need to plan for. And one might argue that, well, actually, this site's already got its principle established. It has an outline planning permission for the entire site for residential development. And in actually increasing the number here, it reduces the pressure to identify any other greenfield sites on the edge of Moulton and Norton. I'm sure that will be an argument that's put to us if we refuse the application. So you can't refuse this simply by saying, we've got a 5-year housing supply, because it was as good as saying cost us, because that is unreasonable. In terms of overdevelopment, in itself, and I hoped I'd sort of made this clear in the report, that as a development, the densities that we're talking about cannot reasonably be described as anything other than low. And so to use the word overdevelopment in an individual site context is again really asking for it. So you've got to decide what it is about this particular application that is making you think the way that you're thinking. And it is really around the site specifics of other issues that you think, as a member having made those comments, that actually you think, well, there will be highway safety issues, there will be air quality issues that you're not happy with. It's the number, not the principle, that you're concerned about. But actually, when you step back and look at the technical responses that we've had, they don't back that position. And so that's the difficulty that we're in. Increased traffic, yeah, but the Highway Authority are not saying it's unsafe. Nobody's saying it's dangerous in a technical assessment. Some strongly held views on air quality, but nobody's actually saying, who's qualified to say so, that there's a problem that can't be mitigated. So they're the problems that you get in front of you when you sit in a public inquiry and get dismantled. This is the position we're in. The principle of development on this site's been established, so you're really dealing with matters of what can you pin down on this increase that is making you say this is not acceptable. You've got to pin that down, because if you can't, we've had it.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I've got similar views to Councillor Burr with regard to air quality and traffic management and whether we've enough places in schools and whether we've enough room at the doctors and all. But actually, I don't believe that what was termed as material planning considerations. Unfortunately, and we're told, often been told, you can't say that because it's a highways matter and they're the experts. And whilst it's really annoying, that's where we are. And I can't find enough reason in this to say no. And I also don't want to say no and cost this council money, because that money could be used to improve the areas that we're talking about tonight. So with a very heavy heart, because I am conscious of the air quality, the traffic problems, the highways problems, the doctor's problems, I am going to have to say that I'm going to move approval. And I do that with a very heavy heart, but with a promise that I will continue to work at area committee level to try and get the air quality issues addressed and the heavy goods vehicle ban put in place. But that's the best I can do.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. Material considerations. Children's lungs not growing. Children wheezing, missing school. Lung cancer. Permanent growth damage of the lungs. Heart disease. Diabetes. Prematurity. Rise in infant mortality. Poor cognitive development. And that's only from one person's little sampling, and also reflects some of Public Health England's evidence. So we have Yorkers Gate with figures 46, 43, 44. So we're already exceeding. We're already illegal. We haven't got the mitigation measures in place until such time as we say every new resident and every existent resident can only have an electric car. They are not allowed to have diesels or petrol cars. We're dealing with hope that it's going to be fine. We know already it's not fine. We know already that the most vulnerable in society are at greatest risk, so that it's unborn babies, so that it's young children, it's toddlers going to the preschool group down by the fire station. It's extraordinary if we can't find that amongst that lot there is a material consideration. When we had our training in planning, I spoke to the trainer afterwards and said, can I just be reassured? Is health a material consideration? To which he said, yes, it was. So we have an exceedance. We haven't got progress on mitigation. Our experts in the area committee, our experts at highways, haven't managed to get a consultation sorted out. That's the standard of our expert advice regarding the progress at Bramling Fields. I don't think we have the infrastructure in place to allow the development to take place. What we mustn't do is have developments without the adequate infrastructure, because we're condemning a tranche of toddlers, babies, school children to exceedances in air quality standards. And if I had small children, I wouldn't be very happy with them living in levels of, or passing through levels of 46, 43 and 44. I think there are material considerations there. There's certainly very good health impact potentials. The evidence over the last 3 or 4 years that children growing up near traffic areas with high NO2 and primary particle emissions have stunted and impaired lung development is incredibly strong. We also found effects on infant mortality, preterm birth and cognitive performance in children. And this wasn't your local GP just making it up. This was a lecture in respiratory toxicology in the lung biology group at King's College, London, which is a pretty good establishment. So I think that we're on very shaky grounds if we say that there are no material considerations here.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Chairman. I've listened to three people so far. Can't disagree with much of what they say. We have to balance things again. Phase one was a balance, and we just got it on balance. What we're looking at now, on a plus point, it's an investment in the Moulton area. I think it shows more confidence in the wider economy rather than Rydell per se. And I think we look at adding to that, we have a promise of increased rail services to measure that. Put against that, air quality. Well, there are arguments for and against what's happening. Forgive the pun, but a lot of it's smoke and mirrors. Traffic is tangible, it's visible, and I think this site is just too much. That area cannot support an extra 87 houses. I think, in addition, the wider economy, possibly some would argue not a material planning consideration, certainly has to be borne in mind that the wider infrastructure just can't support more houses. It is creaking as we speak. Another 87 houses is going to push that over the balance. I can't support this. If nobody seconded your motion, I will second it.
Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mrs. Frank.
I don't see how we can possibly defend refusal of this. It's all very well saying that there's a pollution level at Butcher Corner, which we all accept there is, and we would all like to do something about that. But there's nothing to say that these houses will have a traffic implication on Butcher Corner. They may have, and they probably will have, but there's nothing to say that they definitely will increase the pollution at Butcher Corner. How would we defend that? If we refuse this, how would we defend that? How would we defend that statement? Lindsay said we haven't to just look at what's in front of us. But yes, we do. All the planning instruction that I've had said, look at your agenda, look at what's in front of you, make your decision on that. If we don't pass these houses, we'll have to find another site for other houses. They'll be within Moulton. The traffic implications and the pollution will just be the same from other houses. To put these extra houses on this site still leaves it as a low density site. It doesn't jam houses in, it doesn't make it overdeveloped. And as such, I really don't see how we can refuse it. I will second Caroline's proposal to pass this. I think that's the right thing to do.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Maud.
Thank you very much. It is very much in the balance, is this, but I just feel that it's too much. I can't go with it myself. I was quite happy with the original one, but this extra 87 hours is, for me, it's just over the top. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, unfortunately for me, I'm going to have to support this. It's highways. If you go to North Yorkshire County Highways, you will be told time and time again, for anything, we have no money. Yes, we need improvements in the town. There are improvements around that site and other sites which are ongoing, which will hopefully improve the traffic flow. We need the SIL money. I know people don't like this, but we do need the SIL money, because if you have no houses, you have no SIL, you have absolutely no hope of any improvement. And I do think that county councillors really do, in their capacity as county councillors, make North Yorkshire County Council listen. So I'm a bit reluctant to support it, but I will be. Now, does anybody else wish to speak on it? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for refusal, so we'll go to the vote on that. You are voting for refusal, against, if you're against refusal. So I'll put that to the vote. Thank you. That's four for refusal and five against refusal. So we now move on to the other one, which it has been moved and seconded for approval. So we'll take a vote on that. It will be recorded. Just to make sure you are voting for approval or against approval. So that's five for approval and four against. So it is approved. Thank you.
Chairman, that will be subject to conditions and legal agreements still to be.
Right, that will be subject to conditions and legal agreements
still being resolved.
Still being resolved. Thank you. Now move on to agenda item 15, application number 15/00423/outline. The application site is land at Meadowfield, 40 Thornton Road, Pickering. The proposal is for the erection of five number detached dwellings and formation of vehicular access together with the demolition of existing dwellings and buildings.
Chairman, I've got no updates and I'm conscious that there is still a speaker waiting to speak, so I'll just be very, very, very brief. As members will probably have picked up from the Planning Committee report, this is an application for five detached dwellings within the development limit on the edge of Pickering. It's on the eastern edge of the site to the town to the south of the A170, just before you get to the main Thornton Road industrial estate. The main thing also to point out is that originally this outline application started out as a major outline application, which was for 26 dwellings and 7 business units, which were for really for development on the entirety of the land owned. So if members look at page 163, you'll see that the red line, as was originally applied for, was for what on paper looks like a relatively narrow strip of land there, but it's actually wider than you'd think. But it actually goes from the Thornton Road at the north to the south, where it abuts what we refer to as Thornton Road Phase 2. So it was a very large development originally applied for. It's now been reined back in to the scheme you see on page 164, which is an outline application for five detached dwellings within the development limit. And I think that's the gist of it. It's an outline application, only access is proposed, but to assist members, there is an illustrative street scene of what the development might look like if developed on page 165. Clearly, if permission is approved, then the reserve matters would pick up on any of the details that would subsequently follow. The photographs that you've got on screen there show the A170 in the foreground here. This is the 30 mile an hour limit. It's pretty much at the entrance to the site, but I've got some better photographs for that for you. And on the south side, you can just see the nearest dwelling, which is shown on the street scene drawing on page 165 as the bungalow. So as you're heading along, this taken at another time of the year, which obviously the hedgerow's not in full leaf, but again you can see the profile of the bungalow on the next site, another bungalow. Levels are actually dropping away, and this property here is actually two-storey, so there's a real mix and match of properties along this section of the road. That's more of a clearer view. And the first access point would actually come in here. There is already a drop curb at that point. I'm not sure whether it was a plot that was never developed or whether there was an old post-war, you know, sort of railway carriage type thing that's long since gone. But it's a gap between the nearest dwelling and the existing bungalow on the site, which we'll show you some photographs in a minute. So this is just going on down the road into town, and as you can see, the level's slightly dropping. So this is single story, this is single story, and then you're at a house, but actually the levels of roof don't look that different because of the changing ground levels. On the opposite, sorry, this is on the same side of the road, so you can get a feel for the bungalow becomes the house. And this is just a bit further down. So there's a real mix of sort of post-war, early 60s, early 70s housing on this area. On the opposite side of the road, this is on the northern side of the road, you've got, again, mix and match of housing, hip-roofed, mainly detached properties with reasonable gaps in between. And the last property, again, on that as the land goes up, is a single-storey property. This is the view of the site just nearer to the industrial estate. So you've got, this is Pickering over here. This is the hedgerow boundary of what used to be the Micrometalsmith site on the corner. It's no longer the Micrometalsmith site. And as you're heading from Pickering, this road then sort of branches out to the right turn lane into the industrial estate. And the site's behind this screening. This is the existing entrance point. And this is the existing bungalow number 40, which is a strange property. It's set at an odd angle. I don't know whether it was ever a market garden or something like that in the past. And as you then pan round, what you were looking at as the 30-mile-an-hour sign is the 40-mile-an-hour as you're going at that point here. So, and that's the entrance to the industrial estate. And this is panning round within the site. So you've got a sort of fairly ramshackle arrangement of ancillary buildings. And the reason I showed this photograph was that you get a feeling of the boundaries that screen the site between it and the industrial estate, looking at it from the opposite side. And this is taken in the industrial estate. We did get an objection from Atkinson's to the housing. But I think the point of showing you this was the Micrometalsmith's building. And that was a site which, in addition to being potentially usable at 24 hours of the day, there were no time limit restrictions on its use. There was a planning permission on the back of the site for a foundry. When at one point Micrometalsmith were looking to relocate lock, stock and barrel to Pickering, that plan's long since disappeared. And I think the important thing here is that this builder's merchant type use is very much day use. It's sort of 8 till 5, I think, for most days. So that's really what we're dealing with. A scheme which we think is acceptable in principle. Most of the objections that we did receive were to the earlier scheme for a much bigger scheme. We've got Speaker Chairman.
Thank you. Yes, we do have the Speaker, the agent, Claire Richards. You've got 3 minutes if you press the middle button.
Thank you, Chair.
I'll give you a 30-second audible warning.
Thank you. The proposed development will deliver 5 detached dwellings, which will continue the existing pattern of development on the A170, providing a small linear development in keeping with the character and form of the existing area. The nearest property to the site is number 36 Thornton Road. This is orientated so that its side elevation faces into the site. The indicative drawings that we've provided show a separation distance of 15 metres, and this will ensure that a satisfactory standard of residential amenity can be achieved. And this matter will be addressed further within the consideration of the reserve matters application. The accompanying officer report confirms that there are no ecological issues which arise as a result of the proposal. And apart from 2 small sections of the existing hedgerow, this is to be retained as part of the development. The report also confirms that subject to conditions, North Yorkshire County Council have no highways objections to the proposal and that there are no statutory objections to the proposal. You'll also note from the officer presentation, we have worked with officers to reduce the scheme to get to this recommendation. Also, as per the officer report, the site forms part of a much larger site which was subject to a dismissed appeal in 2010. However, the scheme before you today is significantly different to that determined before, in that the scale of development has been significantly reduced and the issue surrounding the Micrometalsmith metals relocation no longer exists. And also, this proposal seeks consent for 5 dwellings as opposed to 43, which was originally proposed. The proposals before you do not propose to develop the land which directly abuts the industrial estate. And a noise assessment submitted as part of the scheme has demonstrated that residential development on the site can be accommodated to meet the requirements of the environmental health team. And this is further protected by the imposition of conditions 15 and 16 of the report. In addition, I've already mentioned the Microsmith Metal site, but when the inspector considered the appeal in 2010, they had a valid unimplemented planning permission that allowed the relocation of Microsmith Metals to the building that's now J.A. Atkinson's. And Microsmith Metals run 24 hours a day. J.A. Atkinson's don't. They are currently open from 7:30 to 5, Monday to Friday, and 8 till 12 Saturday. This is significantly different to that of Microsmith Metals. In conclusion, the proposal would provide a small-scale residential development within the settlement boundaries of a local service centre. The information provided demonstrates that the proposal would not adversely affect the amenity of residential properties, the character of the area, protected species or highway safety. The application also determines that it would provide an appropriate standard of residential amenity for the new occupiers. We would therefore endorse the officer's recommendation for approval and ask that you follow this recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Farnow.
Thank you. Can I firstly apologise for being late for the meeting, but and therefore can I declare a personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary interest in this item, as I've just realised that the applicant's children and mine go to the same school.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. This is an application close to a business site, industrial site. Is there a risk that future residents can make a complaint about levels of noise and challenge industries that are already established?
Yeah, there's always a risk. And in terms of the appeal, it's before your time as a councillor, but the appeal that was for development on all of the land plus more than was even originally applied for here, which was for a development, I think it was Barrett David Wilson, 116 odd dwellings. It went all the way back to Outgang Lane. It was a big scheme. And that particular scheme was very close to the coach operator that runs down at Outgang Lane, and very close to the rear of the Micro Metalsmiths proposal, which was a site with an extant consent for a foundry. So it wasn't just the micro circuitry, it was the very basic, you know, casting of metals and burning of mouldings. And also the A170, of course, is a source of noise as well. So it wasn't just industrial noise; it was noise on a number of levels. The environmental health officer on that occasion did object to the scheme on the basis of potential for noise nuisance, leading to a number of complaints that would be difficult for them to deal with. But I think it was very much based on what was known at the time, and the nearest dwellings, for example, were from me to you away from the site, and I mean the very northern end of the site, where you've not only got the Micro Metalsmiths that might have been casting aluminium, you know, moulds, but also the A170 road noise. And I think I remember sitting roughly where you are now in the public inquiry, being cross-examined about a fog, which was a flat above a garage, which hadn't got a garden. It didn't have any windows, because it was the only way that you could actually attenuate everything. And the inspector said, well, that's not reasonable. So it was that level of, you know, the only dwelling you could put there didn't have anything. It didn't have a garden. It didn't have any opening windows on elevations that, you know, so all you had was two windows that overlooked a car park. So there were the peculiar relationship to the industrial estate and what could have happened on that very adjacent site that was, I think, key to the inspector dismissing that appeal. Now, what we've got here, obviously, is a site within the identified development limits for just five dwellings, and the Environmental Health Officers looked at it and said, well, yeah, there are still issues there, but you could control this by condition. We've had noise assessments that identify that traffic noise can be attenuated in terms of the orientation of rooms. You tend not to have your habitable rooms on the front of the properties, so that the buildings themselves act as a barrier. The rear curtilage areas can be accommodating, I think it's 50 dBA, I think, without looking at the report. And again, those are levels which are considered to meet good WHO standards. So, there's a judgment call, but it's very different from what we previously refused and dismissed at appeal.
Any other questions? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
I was going to ask the exact same question, so no more questions.
Okay, we'll move to the local member. That's Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I had the pleasure of visiting that interesting house at the end of Pickering on a regular basis, but I couldn't possibly tell you any more than that. It always surprised me that stretch of road hadn't been further developed, because there is a mix of housing, and this is the edge of town for domestic building. What they're proposing, I think, is very modest, and I would be happy to support it.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I remember spending quite a long time on this one when it was David Wilson Homes, and the very high density housing that they were going to propose in that area. And also, we had to consider the fact that Gary mentions one house, but actually I thought there was about six or seven houses that would just never be able to open the windows. And that was just not an option. You know, when it's a hot day or a hot night, you want to be able to open your bedroom window, and with micro metals underneath going 24 hours a day and forklift trucks bombing around, it was just not an option. And that was, I think, one of the major considerations when we said no. It was too dense. There was too high a density. It was too close to the industrial estate for all those reasons. At that time, it was the right decision to take, I think. And I think that was why we ultimately won it at appeal, because the inspector agreed with what that situation was. We've got a different application in front of us now, and I think it is appropriate. And I think perhaps we should say yes. So I'm happy to second the move to approve.
Thank you. Councillor Maud.
Second everything Caroline has said. I remember that site visit and everything.
Thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Agenda item 16, application number 16/00902/738, application site land north of Grace Farm, High Street, Cropton. Proposal is variation of condition 18 to approval dated 15th of the 4th, 2011, to replace drawing H100-1201 with drawing numbers whatever to regularise timber clad garage as built. I can't read all that. My eyes are tired.
Stop laughing. So there's nothing by way of an update, but it's just to summarise what Snowy said, it's Councillor Chairman, sorry. This is just a replacement. The garage was approved as part of a wider scheme for a dwelling on the site back in 2010. The materials condition for that development was to be stone. whilst the house has been built of stone, the garage was clad in a horizontal cedar. This is the garage here. And as you can see, this is the dwelling that is associated with, and this is an existing barn to the east. Just put a few views, pictures going up and down the street scene for you. Cropton is predominantly stone, and we do acknowledge that. However, what we officer's opinion is that the cedar actually bridges the gap between the much creamier stone of the dwelling as built and the existing greyer stone of the surrounding buildings. This is when these pictures were taken, when the original construction had taken place. So as you can see, if I go back, it was quite orangey, peachy colour. As cedar weathers down, it does take more silvery tones to it, which you'll see in some later photographs. But just to give you some ideas of its context in the wider street scene, it has got the clay pan tiles. It is set back quite significantly from the road with the stone boundary wall already in place. Looking down the road, the garage disappears. So whilst there are viewpoints onto it, they are limited. And as you travel down the street scene, it doesn't hold any dominance in it. This is just to show it in wider context of the existing. And again, in travelling in a different direction, until you go past the site, the garage isn't in view. That's it there. This is the more recent photograph, and as you can see, compared to the previous photograph, where it was a very orange colour, it has now toned down quite significantly and will continue to do so. And actually, we feel it's quite fitting to bridge the gap between the existing stone buildings. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? No, again, we don't have the local member. Anybody wishing to take this one? Councillor Mr. Burr.
I have nothing against the garage being clad, but what is a shame is that we were told it was going to be stone. I guess if they'd have just come back and said, can we just do that, we probably would have. It's just a matter of courtesy, isn't it, really? I mean, stone's very, very, dressed stone is very, very expensive. So, you know, to have a garage in stone, we understand it's expensive, but if they'd have just maybe said, but having said that, you know, things happen and let's move on and let's say yes.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I mean, as it stands, it's fine. The only thing I'm going to say is, because I have cedar shingles on my house, and they have been there a long, long time. They've been there 40-odd years, and they go very, very dark. So if you could just nip back to that photograph, you see that wall that's in front of that garage? My cedar's nearly that colour now. So I think you've got to look at it in a longer term view. It won't always be that toned down colour. It'll go very dark like the wall. And that's my only concern. Mine's on the wall. And that's, you know, I look at it and it is very dark like that wall.
The ones up near the hospital. You know, the modern houses there. Do you remember the first one that was built there?
Yeah, but they're changing all the time, and they'll change even more. That's my only comment.
But that's about 10 years old, and it's quite grey, quite grey. Love them or hate them, don't you?
Anybody else? Councillor Mrs. Frank.
Yeah, this isn't jumping out at anybody. If that's the only view you can see from a long shot, and you can't see it coming up and down the street, and I really don't think that a cedar garage is going to do any harm to Cropton. It's not within a conservation area anyway, and I really think that this is fine, and I would second approval.
Anybody else? Councillor Thorne.
Thank you. Cropton is a very pretty village. It's got a mix of housing, largely stone, some brick. And I think if you can go back or find the picture, as you're coming up from Rosedale and going across left,
you have to look to the right to see if there are any cars coming. You're looking straight at that. I think it's a pity, really. And I'm not quite sure why the builder would suddenly just vary that. Because he would know about planning, I guess. He'd understand planning, I would think. No, I know. But it's just...
I mean, timber buildings are not unusual in our villages. I think the predominant part of that building for me is the roof.
Yeah, well, it is very large in comparison. But I can have some sympathy with the parish council, who are obviously upset about this. And they will continue to be upset about it, I'm sure.
Fight over.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you, that's 8 in favour and 1 abstention. It is approved. Let's move on to agenda item 17, application number 16/00936. Stroke House. The application site is Rose Cottage, 2 Southview, Kirby Misbritton Lane, Great Abton. Proposal is for the erection of a single-storey extension to detached garage following demolition of existing stable. Revised details to approval dated 14/10/2015, part retrospective.
Thank you, Chairman. The applications brought to members this evening as the applicant is Mr Gardner, who is Chairman of Rydale District Council. Members will note planning permission has been granted to demolish the existing garage to build a double garage. However, the applicant has decided not to do this and build a single-storey extension to the rear of the garage. This has been partially built and requires planning permission due to its height exceeding what falls within permitted development. So now I'll show you some photographs. Here you can see the garage from Kirby Misbritton Lane. It's set back approximately 40 metres. And just to the left-hand side there, you can see the extension, which is partially built. Why doesn't it light me? Thank you, Alan. Again, you can see the extension, which is partially being constructed. You can see the stonework. Again, just a close-up. Photograph with the extension abutting to the north. The outbuilding to the left is not within the applicant's ownership. It's been agreed that this blockwork will be rendered in a pale cream colour rather than being built of stone. This is a view from the applicant's garden where you can see the extension's already been constructed. And lastly, just to show, we've described it as being part retrospective as the roof has not yet been installed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
So has this come to us because it's our chairman, or has it come to us just because it's a retrospective planning? That's why
it happens to be a retrospective application in part, but the reason it's here is because it's Councillor Gardner's application.
And how did it come about that we knew about it?
Well, we did pass earlier this year for
a different thing.
He's just changed his mind and just wanted something else. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Sorry, I picked up that it's because it's a little bit higher than it should be. Is that right? It's totally different.
this isn't permitted development. It also needs planning permission. So it ended up needing it. But we haven't had any objections, you know, to this. It is what it is, and we're having to bring it to you for you to make a decision on it, because it's a councillor. We're recommending approval.
Any more questions?
It's a retrospective application. Sorry.
Councillor Mrs. Fang.
Yeah, what we gave permission for involved the demolition of that as well. And it was a bigger square, a building. It was actually bigger than this, taller.
A double garage as well.
But there was a stable at the back that was demolished, which has already been demolished, to give way for that. But this is a lower profile building, but still actually needed permission because of the height near the boundary. Those requirements changed. So that's what caught it. Hmm. But it's actually lower in height.
Any more questions? No. Okay, we'll move into debate. The local member is Councillor Mrs. Farnell.
Thank you. Yes, it is rather unfortunate that it is a part retrospective application, as I did go on record last month to say that I don't like retrospective applications. So I will make that point clear again. However, we are where we are. I'm pleased that we're going to get the pale render cream on the side, and therefore I will move approval.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick. I'm not sure if he's waving at me or not.
Sorry, like Councillor Farnell, it won't be the first time I've said I don't like retrospective applications, but I think we've caught it in time. I don't think it's a huge problem, and I think, frankly, we should just get on with it and approve it.
Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Cousins?
The backside of it, I think, I'm sure I come round that other road and you never know it, you don't see it. And I think for what it is, I'll support it.
Thank you, Councillor. Mrs. Frank.
Sorry, Lindsay, have I interrupted? Did you want to go first? Right.
I'm like my colleagues along this side, and I'm sure the ones on that side, we really don't like retrospective planning applications, and I do hope that goes back to this applicant.
Councillor Mrs. Burke.
Well, I would just like to reiterate that I don't like retrospectives. However, we're all not perfect in this world. Unfortunately, Chairman of Council shouldn't have done that. However, we've caught him in the nick of time, so let's just go with it. But David, I just have to say I don't agree with you saying, oh, well, you know, it's done, because he should be setting an example. But we are where we are, David, so I will agree with you. Okay.
Well, in his defence, he did have planning permission for something that didn't look quite like that, but at least, well, all right, he had planning permission for something at that site. Now,
I
do agree, it is retrospective, and I do agree that he should be putting in planning permission, so I will be supporting it too. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote. I was tempted to go against, but...
you didn't move.
I did. Thank you. I did. Thank you. It is unanimous. It is a... So now move on to agenda item 18, application number 16/00941/full. Application site is the shop, 42 Beverley Road, Norton, Moulton. Proposal is a change of use and alterations to post office. to form one number bedroom annex together with the formation of vehicular access and erection of close boarded timber fence and gate to match existing.
Thank you, Chairman. This application is also before members, but for two reasons. Firstly, that the applicants are the parents of a councillor. And the second reason is that whilst we're recommending the application for approval, the parish council, the town council, has recommended refusal of the application. So for two reasons, it's before you tonight. In essence, the property is, or was, I think still is for the time being, most recently the Beverley Road Post Office. But the post office have already made a decision to relocate the post office to the cost cutter premises on Commercial Street. And so for those of you who have probably been in the premises, and I've only ever been inside it once when they were renovating the post office in Malton Town Centre, it is actually a post office and shop. But I think it's been some considerable time since it's been a shop in the sense of selling anything. When I went in there, I think it was selling some knitted baby clothes and some car, you know, gift cards, that sort of thing. And it is next to two or three other commercial premises, which I'll show you in a moment. The town council have objected to the loss of the retail premises in terms of it functioning as a potential retail premises for development in the locality and potential future development in the locality. But I have to say that in that area, aside from the two or three other shops that are close by, I think one's a sandwich bar, there's the Harrow shops just around the corner. And further down, almost on the edge of town, is the One Stop, which is recently had a sizable extension, and that's the one that I think in the locality is the convenience shop that we all think about. So whilst the parish the town council have objected to the loss of the shop unit, the post office decision is already a decision that's been taken that isn't our decision, and what's left, quite frankly, is a very modest retail shop. Set against that is its proposal to be a one-bed self-contained annex, which I think, as the report sets out, arguably is then providing a small unit of accommodation in this part of the town. I'll just show you the photographs. You probably recall it as that. So it's mainly residential property. It's just this bit here that's the post office come shop. And these are the children's garments that I think one of the occupiers actually makes herself, I think. And the post office counter's here. Well, that's all going to go. And this is the other two or three commercial premises just in that area. So to orient yourself, approaching from the town centre, you've come up to the eastern end of Commercial Street to the roundabout. You've turned into Mill Street, which is one of those streets where you have to navigate carefully because of all the parked vehicles. And then you come out to the other end where the other roundabout is, which you turn left at to go off to the Beverley Road, Beverley direction. And it's just there. That's where this premises is. It's just a bit of a close-up of the existing parking area. So this is it, just stood in front. And it's this area that would be changed the use of. And that's a view just looking down Beverley Road, the other premises here. That's it. We recommend approval, Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions? Councillor Mrs. Brewer, I do believe you'll be the closest.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I live in Norton, and the post office has really instigated this decision because they've decided to take that main business down onto Commercial Street. It's true, 20 years or so ago, it was a really busy, thriving shop. Things have moved on. It's not as busy as has been said. You know, I should have declared an interest because I know Councillor Keane Duncan. Things have moved on, and people don't shop like they do. And I've been in many times, and there's nobody else in. So I guess it's just the sign of the times, and there are, as Gary has said, there's a very, very busy, now extended cost cutter. I think it's, well, whatever it's called anyway. What is it called?
One
yeah, one stop that everybody goes and there's, you can pull in and get out of your car and, you know, convenience, it's the same old saying, if you lose it, you know, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And this, I think it's just a sign of the time, and it's just a natural progression that, you know, we actually say, well, yes, it served its purpose now and it'd be turned back into a house. I recommend approval.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you. We should declare an interest because it's Keane Duncan's parents, and obviously Keane is a councillor on this council. Putting that aside, looking at the photographs, it almost appears to me that it started off its life as a house and then morphed into a post office. And with the rationalisation of the post office counter services, it's no longer viable as a post office, and I suspect it's probably not really viable as a shop now. So the natural thing to do is to put it back to, I suggest, the house it always was. And we had a house in St Hutton Village, which was... Yeah, it is very red. And we had a house in St Hutton, which the front room was the post office, and the post office pulled out and it went back to being a residential house. So I think it's perfectly acceptable for us to approve this, and I'll second Lindsay's movement for approval.
Thank you. Anybody else? No. OK, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you, that's unanimous. It is approved. Agenda item 19 is any other business. We've got the site visit, which will be on the 19th of July at, shall we say, 10 o'clock? Everybody happy with 10 o'clock? Sheriff Hutton. 19th. That sounds like a good idea, unless there's parking on site, but if not, we'll park there. Councillor.
Standing, so I think they were quite willing to open the gate and let you park in the site, because parking might be an issue.
Access is a real quite tight down there.
Sounds like we're parking on site now.
Chairman, can I give you apologies now? I already have an engagement in the diary.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this item 20 is list of applications determined under delegated powers, and we have no update on appeal decisions, so I'll declare this meeting closed. Thank you.